Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and you may know me as Kunta Kinte.
Troy and Abed in the morning.
See, I knew him as Geordi LaForge, fan of, because I'm a fan of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sure. But I mean, Kunta Kinte.
I mean, that's okay, but also Reading Rainbow.
Reading Rainbow.
I mean, Roots. I mean, how influential was that? Come on.
Kunta Kinte.
I guess you could put it third on his resume.
Geordi LaForge.
Right. I mean, obviously the second Star Trek series is way more influential than Roots.
Right.
Come on,
right,
of course. Dude. It had like four movies.
So the star of Reading Rainbow, Geordi Kinte?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
What's up? Hey,
Zach, start talking again.
Check one, check two, check three, check one. Test, testing.
I was a silly little bitch. I was fucking setting Brandon's controller on your microphone.
Oh, were you really?
I was, yeah. Hey, Brandon, why don't you
check? So do you want to check me out? Do you really want to check me out? Check one, check two.
There we go.
Check three.
Okay, I think we're good. All right. I think we're ready to go. Are you guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
Ball so hard, mother father's got to find me.
Well, because of Rapacon?
Yes!
Well, it was the best of those movies.
Your work on anti-electron collisions is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to promise me that.
All that I have and more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Montucky Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies, episode 121, live from Studio G. I'm Biggs.
I'm Inigo Montoya.
And I'm Giselle Bundchen.
Nice. We're just watching a foosball game.
Yes.
Between Zach's team and Brandon's team.
It was exciting.
And it's really funny because Zach paces like a wild animal.
I do. I pace like I'm a tiger in captivity.
That it actually sort of reminded me of when we went to Portland. I guess this is a little over a year ago. It's probably close to 2 years ago, actually. But we went to the zoo, and it was in the middle of springtime, which is not a good time to visit the zoo because everything is not out because it's cold and it's raining. And, you know, there's all kinds of African animals. And so we went and saw it. Like, I'm not a fan of zoos, I should just say, right out of the gate. But I have kids, so I deal with it. But I never even liked them as a kid because it always made me sad, like watching all the animals like in captivity. But it is terrible to go to a Portland Zoo in March when it's raining because we watch a giraffe in this little tiny room, like the tiniest room, just pacing in a circle, like just looking so upset. And then even more upsetting was seeing an elephant also in a small room, just pacing in a circle, and like and just sitting there, it would stop for a second and just look at people through the window with just the saddest look, and then like paced around. Like I was one step from going to PETA.
they always look like they want to die. That's why I like the nature preserves or like wild, like national parks. That's the way to go see things.
I agree. Although I told the story in like an earlier episode of Montucky Skies, like a really old one, but I was always against feeding animals, like always against feeding the animals at national parks. And I like debated my wife with it, but we're going around when we were in Yosemite National Park. And I can't even explain why I did it because there were signs everywhere that said like $25,000 fine for feeding the squirrels because everybody fed them. And for some dumb reason, right when I'm in front of the park ranger, I like dropped some of a granola bar so that they could eat it, and I did it and looked at him and I was like, why the fuck did I do that? It's a $25,000 fine. And the guy like lectured me for a minute. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know why I did it. It was really stupid. And I guess he believed me and let me off the hook, but it's pretty dumb.
The only ones I would ever feed would be like the chipmunks at Glacier. Because they'd come sit in your hand, and I really enjoyed that as a kid.
They fucking did that in Yellowstone and Yosemite, too. Yep. I mean, they're used to people feeding them, for sure.
The chipmunks are the ones I make the concession on.
Yeah. Well, and that, when I really got in the argument with my wife was because we were watching those Ken Burns documentaries on the national park. I'm sorry, am I boring you?
Nope.
Yeah, but we're watching the documentaries on the national parks, and they were talking about one of the things that the modern movement in national parks was to stop feeding the animals, and they were showing pictures of like people feeding bears out of their cars. Yeah. They just come up to the car like all friendly and stuff, and then they would.
They're part Wookiee.
Yeah.
Do you have any honey pots? We love honey.
Yeah.
Do you have a picnic
basket? We love honey, but we love your hand even more.
Honey basted hand is the best type of hand.
That's true.
I mean, isn't that just a classic American Christmas dinner?
That's true. You've had some time in national parks, right?
I've had quite a few times. Mostly Yellowstone and Glacier.
Yellowstone's badass, dude.
I enjoy Glacier more just because it's not quite such a tourist trap.
We're actually planning on it this summer. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just trying to affirm what you were saying there. But yeah, I guess apparently the glaciers are going to melt within 20 years is what I've heard, is that they're actually not going to be there anymore in 20 years.
That means you're on the clock to go see it, folks.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. Your trip. That was how I was looking. It was like I always planned on going eventually, and I was like, oh, shit, I better make this real.
Yep.
Because there's not much time. So what's there to do in Glacier that's better than Yellowstone?
I just like enjoying the scenery, going up through the Going to Sun Highway is really awe-inspiring. That and I see a lot more bears and stuff in Glacier than I've never seen a bear in Yellowstone. I remember seeing, like, you know, you were talking about the Ken Burns documentary where they're feeding the bears.
Yeah.
You know, and there are bears everywhere, and I have never seen a bear in Yellowstone in all of my days.
Oh, we saw a couple, but yeah, it's not easy. I mean, but we saw tons of animals in Yellowstone, too. I mean,
the best part about Yellowstone is the buffalo.
Oh, my God. The bison are everywhere, man.
And they're such cool animals.
Yeah, I was actually looking at pictures I took at Yellowstone a couple days ago, and I noticed how close I was to one of the bison. I was like, man, I'm a fucking idiot. Because I remember taking a picture and being like, I really shouldn't be this close to this, but it's so cool and like letting me do it.
When I was a kid, my dad got way too close to a buffalo and pulled its tail. And it started chasing him around, like out in front of our little cabin, until he finally made it back into the cabin. My dad's bad like that. My dad's the guy who wants to go and touch every animal. Like, just, he doesn't want to feed it. He doesn't want to, like, take doing it. He just wants to touch it once, just to say he did. So he will touch anything.
I used to be that way with deer. So anybody who lives in Helena knows there's, like, deer all over town that just come in all the time. And, we had some fires in 2000 where they spread into town and just started being around quite frequently. But before that, you would just occasionally see them. And I would always, like, I'd be walking in the middle of the night because I didn't have a car in those days. And I'd see a deer and I would, like, track it on foot for miles just trying to touch it, like trying to sneak up on it and touching it and coming close sometimes but never quite getting there. And then, like, I talked to a friend who got kicked in the face by a deer, and I was like, you know, it's probably good that that didn't happen.
That's not something I need in my life.
Yeah. One of the best things I ever saw was when I was in Yellowstone. It was middle of September. It was after Labor Day, and it was in the middle of the elk rut, and we were up in Mammoth, and the elk were, like, in town bugling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was this huge, like, 6-point bull bugling at this other one. Was like 500 yards away, the other elk was. The one that was bugling, the big one, was like 70 yards away from us and just getting pissed off at this other bull. And that was pretty cool.
That's when you want to get in the middle of it and be like, come on, guys, and then just fucking get sprayed.
You pull out a big red blanket and try to be an elk matador.
There you go. That's the stupidest shit I've heard all night, dude. That's for yawning in my story earlier.
Listen, I've yawned like 4 or 5 times so far in this podcast. Pacing like a caged beast really takes it out of you after a long day at work.
But you still won. Yeah, damn it.
Okay. I gotta admit, I was looking for some kind of nerdy news, and I didn't get too deep into it because I got family visiting, but I only found one thing. I couldn't find a lot. So I'm hoping you know more, Zach, because you always seem to...
Yeah, there might be a few comic things I can talk about. That's been about it.
Okay. Well, okay, so here's one thing I heard that won't exclude Brandon right away.
All right.
So apparently Jessica Lange is going to do the next season of American Horror Story, and then she's out.
That makes sense. It's the last year on her contract, and I think she... wants to move on to other things now that she sort of revived her career.
Yeah, she said it's basically, they do 6 months filming it, and so it's basically the length of like a play on Broadway. And so she's just like, that's like four of them, like that's a long time, but she enjoyed doing it. But they said she's gonna she's not gonna be the lead in the fourth season, but she will have a pretty meaty part, which I feel like that was the case in the first season, too, right? Like, she wasn't really the lead in that one.
No, she was definitely not.
But it was a pretty meaty part. I mean, and she's pretty good.
She had a pretty often occurring role in the first season.
Yeah.
The second season, she really grew some teeth in that series.
Now, have you been watching American Horror Story at all, Zach?
I have been a little bit more this year because my roommate's been watching them as they come out.
So you've been seeing the Covenant?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Coven. Sorry.
Plus, yeah. I'm a big fan of Emma. I'm a big fan of the work of Emma Roberts because she's the same age as me. So, you know, I've grown up being a big fan of her work. She's an incredible talent.
Fair enough. So, what do you think so far?
I think my biggest problem with the show is that it doesn't really succeed in being a horror show.
It's not supposed to be, though. You kind of get over that after the first season if you watch it.
I enjoy it. I just feel like... like, the creepiest thing in every episode is the title sequence.
See, I agree in spades with what you're saying, but I got over that in the first season because I was watching and I was like, this isn't really like a horror movie, because it starts out like it is like a horror show and then it's not.
It sort of becomes like a campy drama.
And then by the second season, you know what you're in for. It's not going to be like a horror movie, you know?
Here are my two things. Is I adjusted to it really quick because it's a Ryan Murphy show and he doesn't do specific genres. He does camp. Mm-hmm. Is sort of his thing. And so I sort of knew that was coming going in. But for me, this basically is the first season because it's the first one I've watched from the beginning and in order in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's...
well, and you don't have to... this is one show you truly don't need to see the other seasons. I mean, they're not connected.
Yeah. There's a reason they go up for miniseries in the Emmys instead of series.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. What do you think, Brandon? How would you rate them so far?
I have really enjoyed this season. What I'm afraid of is they're going to end up like they did the end of the second season, where they just plow through the storyline so fast, and then they end up like, what do we do now? And we end up with aliens.
To be fair, they had that shitty alien storyline from episode one of the second
season. I know, but it like totally took over the entire breadth of the series.
That really is the rub about the second season, was like, that would have been so great if you could have just cut out that alien storyline, but it just did not fit anything else in the rest of the story.
And the rest of the story was so good.
The rest of the story is spectacular, dude. The shit with like the Nazi doctor and... I mean, Jessica Lange fucking just knocks it out of the park.
Actress. She's
she's
on another level from everybody else in that show.
I even enjoyed the murder face stuff, you know, even though it being a stupid name, murder face,
murder face,
bloody face.
Oh, is it bloody face? Even worse.
Yeah.
Even fucking worse. Murder face is in Metalocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, murder face was a frisky dingo. The big white ghost guy.
Really? It's not the bass player in Metalocalypse?
I don't know.
I can't settle this debate. Show. I don't watch cartoons. I'm an adult.
That's okay. It's on Adult Swim, dude.
I don't swim. Actually, I do.
Fair enough.
Because I watch NTSF SDSUV.
Okay, so off of what you've seen so far of Coven, how would you rate season 1 through 3? Like put them in order.
Right now, I would put 3 as my favorite, then 1, then 2.
Yeah,
the alien thing is so hard to get over. Like, the rest of the season was so good, but that was so bad.
If you could somehow just George Lucas it, but cut it out instead of putting weird like Ewoks like running around and playing instruments, Yeah, I would put number two as my favorite, but
you can't
get around that storyline. That was awful and took too much time.
You can just cut things out without putting Ewoks in after. Like, there's just a cutout option.
No.
I didn't think so. That sounded crazy what you
were saying. I feel like we're like knocking the Phantom Menace every episode down. I didn't even intend to.
Have you noticed the word Phantom Menace has ruined the word menace for other movies?
Yeah, like I noticed Menace to Society never on TV anymore.
Nope. Menace has ruined our perception of movies.
I just saw Dennis the Menace on TV. Yeah, it was like at 3 a.m. So yeah.
I'd go to bed.
We're the only.
Well, I just saw it was on TV. I should reframe that. It was on the guide. I didn't actually watch it.
The guide.
My dad was named after Dennis the Menace. That's a true story. It's not really interesting, but it's true. My grandpa was really into the comics in the 50s, so I named my dad Dennis the Menace.
So I've got something for us we can talk about.
Okay.
Warner Brothers registered 9 different phrases for potential titles for Man of Steel sequel. So I'm not going to tell you my opinions on any of them. I'll let you guys just hear these fresh for the first time. You guys can tell me what you think of these.
Can we go one at a time?
Yep.
And just break it down? And you can give your reaction too.
I will. I'm just not going to lead with it. So just also remember all of them have Man of Steel colon in front.
Okay. All right, got it.
So Man of Steel, Battle the Night.
No.
No.
Yeah, that sounds like if you want to take that for like a shitty RPG video game, do it. But
that's not a good title.
Yeah. That sounds like a really bad anime version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Battle the Night.
And they may be using these for shit like
is
that
it K N or
with a K. Okay?
It doesn't change it.
No, it actually makes it worse for me. Yeah. All right, so next we've got Man of Steel, Darkness Falls.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it, but it doesn't.
It's not quite there, but I don't hate it. Doesn't fit
the Batman thing,
and it's just generic.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the Batman thing. I don't like it.
Yep. All right, so we've got Man of Steel, Shadow of the Night.
We're getting better, but still pretty weak.
Yep. Man of Steel, Beyond Darkness.
No.
I think that's not good at all.
That could be like a TV show. Like a Superman Batman TV show.
Okay.
Produced by the CW.
Okay. So we've got Man of Steel, Black of Night. With a K. With a K. What
the fuck is wrong with DC, dude? Get rid of this night shit. With a K. No.
Black of Night is the worst one.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like a sequel.
One that made me ask what the fuck is wrong with DC.
Remember the Martin Lawrence movie, Black Knight? It sounds like the sequel to that.
Ooh.
You know, I had somehow blocked that out of my memory. God damn you, Zach.
Is it racist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a Martin Lawrence movie.
No, I'm talking about the title of the movie, just The Black of Night.
I mean, now that we've made the comparison to a Martin Lawrence movie, probably. Next we have Man of Steel. Night Falls.
Jesus Christ, man. Wasn't that the name of a story already?
Nightfall was.
Yeah. Fuck no.
Man of Steel, The Blackest Hour.
Okay, you know what?
Getting better.
Maybe it's because it's off the back of all these other ones, but I can see that one at least.
I still don't think it's good.
It's weak, but that's the strongest so far.
Well, if you're fond of that one, Man of Steel, The Darkest Hour.
Wait, what was the one before it?
Blackest Hour.
And now it's The Darkest Hour? No.
You ready for this? Here's the final one. And I saved it for last.
They better knock this out of the park, but something tells me it's going to be awful.
Man of Steel, The Darkness Within.
Let me put it this way. If it actually like fits the plot somehow, I could go with that.
I actually think this sums up DC's mission statement. The Darkness Within, because they cannot have anything fun in their movies. It's all grim and gritty.
No shit, dude. It's all darkness and night.
And it's within you, so. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you want to know what you call this movie, DC? Seriously, drop the Man of Steel.
World's finest.
Fuck it. No. I get where you're coming from. No. Superman versus Batman. How about that? Or here's your alternate title. Batman versus Superman. You know what? That's going to pack the seat with fucking asses of people who aren't normally comic book fans, who are completely have their head up their ass and haven't been looking at commercials. They see Superman versus Batman, they're fucking going to the theater.
What if you call it Man of Steel? It's a mad world.
I would wonder why William Gaines suddenly started
You can't tell me that's not a better subtitle than what DC actually came up
with. Some of them, it's definitely better. I'm not questioning that.
So, there's also been news. Nightwing is definitely going to be in the movie. And
now, we're sure about that? Because I heard there was a lot of speculation. No, we're positive. How are we positive?
Because DC's announced that they're casting Nightwing.
Yeah, that sounds positive. Is it for the movie though? For sure. Because yeah. I heard speculation that we're gonna do it for Arrow.
They're doing it for both of them, and they're casting separate actors.
You know what? Oh goddamn! I was gonna say good on them, but never mind, dude.
And they're casting.
They're two just like, flashes. What? How's Marvel doing it? We're gonna do it the other way. Yeah. You know, and this comes at a time where like I grew up like hating DC, even though like I liked the cartoons and the movies and stuff growing up, but like, and then I got over it when I got older and realized like I just like comics and started to like both companies. And now that they're putting the movies out, I mean, Marvel keeps knocking it out of the park. Well, and DC's like, what are they doing? It's working. Yeah, let's try something different.
I'm a big fan of going outside the box and doing something different. Don't do something different if it's a dumb thing to do.
It's kind of cool having the interconnected world. I don't know. Really, I guess, cool. I guess in a way, if one of the two companies was going to do it, it makes more sense that it's Marvel.
Here's the thing.
But I'm a little disappointed in DC that they're not having the balls to tie in their shows with their movies.
Here's the thing from my standpoint looking at DC is I would be like, it works doing that when Marvel's doing a similar thing, but when Marvel has sort of conditioned audiences to expect when you see Marvel, it's all one thing, all DC's going to end up doing is confusing people. Like, why are there two different Nightwings running around at the same time?
Yeah.
You really run a risk of just alienating your audience that way.
Yeah.
So we're also going to have the two different Flashes, and Flash is now not going to be an episode of Arrow. It's just a straight up pilot for his own show.
Well, I could get behind a Flash show because there was a Flash show when I was a kid. And
with John Wesley Shipp.
I will say I've not seen it as an adult, and I will eventually get around to seeing it again because I know it is on Netflix, or at least it was. But that show was badass when I was a kid. He played Trapster.
Trickster.
Or Trickster, yeah. But I was really into it when I was a kid. Like, I thought it was great, and I was really pissed off when it didn't get renewed for a second season. But
there's also another bit of Batman versus Superman news. So it's set to start filming in February, the early February. So we've known that for a while. Today they proudly announced they just got the first draft turned in. They Woo-hoo! Just now
way to get in front of it.
They just now finished the first draft. Now for movies like these, they're normally like 10 to 15 drafts deep before they start filming.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good sign.
Zach. Shh. It's going to have awesome special effects.
Honestly, we might find out.
Zack Snyder.
I can't wait for them to announce on like January 26th, we just hired a special effects team.
No,
we start filming tomorrow.
They haven't written the second draft of the script yet because they've been busy with the special effects team. They're like, we don't know where this is going to go in the movie, but look at this shot of Superman punching something.
Basically making
get a giant spider. We want it now.
This isn't a John Peters joint, dude. And thank God for that.
They're basically making video game cutscenes for a video game that for just different video games.
You know, that shit kind of happens. Spider-Man 2, I had it for PlayStation, and there was like tons of Catwoman in it.
Mm-hmm. You mean Black
Cat? Black Cat. God, I should have known better than that. I'm so embarrassed, guys. Embarrassed right now.
No one has to hear this. You can edit this.
Not now that I got a board and I already played the music and stuff. This shit's going on, man. I'm lazy editing now. But
you'll only edit me if I spoil a certain movie. Fight Clubhouse.
Nope, not anymore, dude. Not anymore. we already had the spoiler episode. We put it on there. So
oh, that's right.
If you're going to be a completist, and I prefer that you be.
I mean, a lot of our audience is nerdy people, and nerdy people like to start from the beginning and work their way up.
I do, dude. You know how bad I am with that? I knew that the Trailblazers were on a 10-game winning streak in basketball, and I still, even though I was like 5 games behind, I still had to catch up with all the games and watch them in order. Yeah. And like even fooling myself into like rooting for shit, even though I knew how it was going to end. It's pathetic, but that's my life, dude. I'm a completist. Anyway, I had something about Superman. I don't remember now.
My hopes are getting dashed about its potential quality for a sequel every day.
Yeah, I mean, the Justice League news has been a shit show from the very beginning. I guess we shouldn't expect anything else now. But you know what I was just thinking of earlier? DC is a fucking liar. Do you remember back when they said that they casted Ben Affleck?
Mm-hmm.
The rumors are they casted Ben Affleck for Batman in a Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, denied it up and down in DC, denied it up and down. Look what fucking happened, dude. And then it caught fire on the internet and everybody was shocked. And then it was like, hold on a second. They already fucking, like, this leaked out. Why is this news?
They can save their asses if they chicken out of doing a Justice League movie, because then they didn't technically cast him to be Batman.
They already announced they're doing a Justice League movie.
With DC, I honestly would not be surprised if they chicken out. They've already turned...
You mean with Warner Brothers?
Yeah,
DC. Yeah.
I mean,
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's DC. I think it's Warner Brothers chickening out probably, because they have a history of backing off on superheroes.
I honestly think it might be a little bit of both, because Warner Brothers does their cartoon and TV stuff too.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but that makes money. I mean, that's constantly on TV. It's constantly raking in money. I mean, the movies are so afraid of getting a bomb.
They already scrapped one Justice League movie while it was filming. I have no reason to think they'll make a Justice League movie until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, fair enough. I hear what you're saying. I kind of feel like that train's already going, though, and it's too late to stop it.
It may get to that point, but I don't have faith in them at all.
Do you think, like, someday when people look back at that Will Smith movie, which one was it?
Wild West?
No, not
two references to Wild Wild.
No, not that one. Yeah, I Am Legend. No,
Pursuit of Happiness.
Stop. It was I Am Legend. That when they have that Superman Batman billboard, it's not even, once that movie comes out, it's not even going to be a joke anymore.
No,
it's just one of those jokes that won't take.
Yeah, people are just like, oh, I guess Superman Batman was really, I guess. That's just what was happening.
It's funny with The Simpsons. If you're ever a nerd like I am with The Simpsons watching commentaries, they have jokes that are just so dated now that you would never know is a joke. Like they had one that that Springfield Elementary had a sign that said, like, to check homework scores, go to springfieldelementary.com. Like it was something like that. And the joke, I didn't realize this until this the commentary, but they were laughing about it. The joke was that someday schools would actually like get their own websites. How ridiculous. Like that's been a thing for so long. You would never get that as a joke. Like, and you look at it, it doesn't seem like a joke, but I mean, I believe that was probably funny at the time. It's just, holy shit.
How insane. Schools will never understand the internet. Yeah. People, stuff like that really shows that people did not have any clue of what was coming with the internet. Like, no one predicted what it was going to end up being.
Did you have any clue, dude? I had no clue. No. I had
to the extent of what it is now, no.
We thought that our Pornhub would be virtual reality.
And
that's what we thought when we were growing up. They kept telling us, someday you'll be able to put on a mask and there'll be a girl right in front of you. You can fuck her. No, not really.
See,
that's not what happened.
I thought I would actually be on the radio, but now I'm on the internet radio.
Exactly. It's better.
It is better.
It's, I mean, not for money or fame for you, but yeah. I mean, for people to listen to it, it's better. I fucking dig that I can just put something in my ears and listen to it episodically.
At any moment.
Yeah.
You can find, no matter what you're interested in, you can find a podcast to listen to about it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a certain time of my life where I was like, everything I do has to be like to bettering my education somehow. So every book I would get would be a classic that I'd never read or like a manual of some sort. And then like I remember getting like podcasts on how to play piano or speak like Spanish and shit like that. And that phase lasted for like a year and then I got over it.
You're like, nah, I'm just going to listen to things I already know I like.
Yeah, and then eventually I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm not going to talk about anything smart. I'm going to talk about Superman and Batman for fucking 45 minutes. Brandon, let's raise the level of this conversation. Give us something highbrow here.
So we went and saw Spamalot this week.
Oh, yeah, we did. Monty Python.
I never saw it.
Did you never actually got to sit down and watch it?
Nope. I worked every night of it. I watched some of the rehearsals, but that was about it.
My dad said the same thing, too, which struck me as funny at first because my dad played Sir Galahad / Dennis. His name is Dennis. And then he also played the father in the Swamp Castle.
Correct.
Yeah. And he did the voice of Boris. After he gets his head chopped off, which is a great prop. But it was really funny watching that with my wife because she had no idea what was coming at all. Like, she's never watched it with me. Like, I tried to watch Life of Brian, but the DVD I have, the audio is all fucked on it. They just mixed it poorly, and so you can't hear half the stuff that happens in it. And I always forget, and I get mad when I'm watching it and, like, turn it off. But
did she enjoy it?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, she was in there at first, like, not really looking forward to it, and then her hands were kind of crossed for the first couple of corny jokes. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, it just got past her guard, and she started laughing, and then she never stopped laughing after that. But the thing that really, really, really got her and my stepson were when the rabbit goes and bites Boris's head off. Like, that was just like, they lost their shit, dude. I thought they were both going to shit themselves. They were laughing so hard. But anyway, my dad was saying to me, we were talking about Spamalot. He's like, I was like, you know, I didn't really know what to expect when I saw it, but it's great. He's like, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. And it made me laugh at first because I thought he was, you know, being like, well, I'm in the play, but I haven't seen it, like, kind of thing. And then I realized, like, no, he's serious. Because that is, like, my dad's favorite thing in the world is, like, Monty Python. Yeah. And then I realized, like, no, he actually means he would rather be sitting out in the audience and watching it because he loves, like, Monty Python so much. And I can see the validity in that. It was quite enjoyable.
And the Myrtle Loy Center's run of Spamalot was so popular that it actually brought Monty Python back together.
Yeah. Yep, urn and all.
Yep, urn and all. I think it's a dustbuster in the continuity.
Do you even want to see them together anymore? I don't.
I don't, but I just like thinking about them hanging out together. Like, that makes me happy. Sort of like Bill Cosby's new stand-up special.
They'll never hang out together, though. They don't really like each other.
Well, they will.
Well, some of them do, but I mean, like Terry Gilliam.
He's definitely on the outs.
He doesn't like the other ones. They will
while they're doing this little run of shows.
And by the way, they don't like him.
Nope. Yeah. Like, it's definitely mutual.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did at some point, and I feel like Around Meaning of Life was like, Holy Grail for my dad gave me this book that's an oral history on Monty Python. It's completely like every ounce of writing is just each member of Monty Python in interviews talking about it. Like, it's at no point is our author conjecturing anything. It's like literally things from their own words, and you hear the questions to them and everything. So it's, you know, it's not like they're misplacing quotes or anything. But you really get the impression like Holy Grail was the start of the splinter because it was like Terry Gilliam was the director, but he was like a co-director with Terry Jones. But Terry Gilliam, like, they basically at some point made the trade-off that like Terry Gilliam would like do the set decorations and things like that, and Terry Jones would direct the acting because Gilliam was fighting for more power and Jones is kind of fighting for more power. So that was sort of the beginning of their split.
And
then Life of Brian, they went with Terry Jones because they just couldn't stand the idea of like working under direction from Terry Gilliam. Then fucking Meaning of Life, they have that short with the pirates where they're in the building and they do the accountancy shanty.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And when you watch that, you're like, what the fuck? Because it's like this weird like drama period piece with a moving building. And they had no, like the rest of Monty Python had no idea what he's working on. They gave him this money and they assumed it was for his artwork stuff that he always does. Mm-hmm. And instead he does this short and they're like, what the hell are we going to do with this? Like, it's not comedy. It's like, you know, so eventually they figured out that they do the building falling on it and going, you know, yeah. And then they reintroduce it later in the middle of the film. So it turned it funny. But when you're watching it, it seems so out of place. And it's because he just did it without any of their permission, and everyone to a T, including Michael Palin, who likes everybody.
Yeah, Michael Palin's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, and he wants to get along with everybody. And even he was just like, it was ridiculous. Like, it didn't belong in a Monty Python film. So
I think it honestly worked out for the best, that sort of split between, because Terry Gilliam makes amazing movies.
Yeah, he does.
So it,
I think, well, he makes some bad ones too, but he makes some pretty amazing ones. But when
He hits hard.
Yeah, like when you look at like Brazil. Or fucking
12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is great.
You know, my favorite one that's really underrated now is The Fisher King. Fisher King is fucking badass. Like a good Robin Williams, not bad Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the two Robin Williams.
And don't forget Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's my favorite by far. That's more of a Hunter S. Thompson thing, but Terry Gilliam fucking does justice.
He's the perfect director to translate that material.
He was too, and the really funny thing was they almost took that away from him when they realized he had never done any hallucinogens. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Oh, how's he even gonna do this movie?" But then he made them feel good, because one of the first things he filmed was the scene in the casino where they're standing on the floor. And there's like these patterns on the floor and they like grow into vines and go up the leg and then shrink down it. And then when they saw that, they're like, oh, he's just got a wacko imagination. Yeah, I think he can handle it.
His brain creates his own hallucinogens.
Yeah. And that's what he said. Like he'd been in a casino in Vegas and he had just stared at the patterns for so long that he almost started picturing that happening. Mm-hmm. And so he put it in the movie and like, I mean, that's perfect, dude. That's kind of what hallucinations are like anyway.
He was supposed to direct the first Harry Potter movie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I can't imagine him getting along in like a big commercial film like that.
No, J.K. Rowling specifically requested him, and he was going to do it until Warner Brothers wouldn't pay him enough.
There it is.
Yep.
They would have had a hard time keeping him on for seven movies, but though.
As we learned, they weren't going to keep anyone on for seven movies.
Yeah.
But he would have done a great job. I still would have liked to have seen him come back.
And but you know what? That was never going to happen. I know. Like, this is the thing about Terry Gilliam. He has a giant pissing match in every movie he ever does.
But I mean, it's still fun to think about, like, what could have been.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's just funny that Patsy is like the most agreeable character ever in a Monty Python movie. And like the dude who plays him is like the exact opposite.
Yeah. Michael Palin was always my favorite one just because he seemed like the nicest guy ever.
Eric Idle was, and now that I'm older, I feel like it's probably John Cleese.
John Cleese has always been my favorite.
Cleese has held up
the best. Yeah.
Like, Cleese has held up the best in terms of just continuing to do great work.
Yeah, I think it was Eric Idle because even more than the films when I was growing up, like, the albums were the big thing for me. My dad had all the Monty Python albums, mm-hmm. and I used to listen to them all the time. And Eric Idle, like, sings... Well, he wrote so many songs for him.
Yeah, he wrote all the music for Spamalot.
So when you listen to the albums, it's more of an Eric Idle joint than it is like the other guys.
Michael Palin, part of the reason I was like him is I thought he was the best straight up actor out of all of them.
I would agree with that.
And so
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I had to think about it for a minute. There's a bunch. Yeah. Although Graham Chapman's really good. And I feel like he's the only one that can truly pull off the lead.
Yeah.
Out of Monty Python characters.
He's the only leading man in there.
That's why he did so great in like Holy Grail playing the lead, and then in Life of Brian,
and because they couldn't trust him to remember more lines than just the lead. that was a big part of it as well.
Well, yeah, he was the one that they really didn't trust at all.
Yep.
And you could tell that. Yeah. And who was it? Somebody used to get upset because they felt like they pushed him off onto him all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually John Cleese.
I agree with that.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I watched, there was a show on Epix a while back called, A Liar's a Biography. And it was a biography on the life of Graham Chapman. And it was really interesting.
He is like bad alcoholic.
Oh, it was really bad. But it was an autobiography written by Graham Chapman, and it was released posthumously. Yes. But it was really interesting because it had a lot of what was going on in the background from his point of view.
Mm-hmm. I'd really like to see one day a biopic about Monty Python. I just think it'd be cool to see sort of that.
I kind of feel like you got to wait till they're dead to really definitely. Do it justice, though. Definitely. Because there's always that shadow of, like, they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of make me a little sad now. Like, not individually. But when you see them in, like, because it seems like the only thing I see with Monty Python anymore is retrospectives.
Mm-hmm.
And they always just seem so old and, like, serious about it. And they're clearly, like, aware of what they've done. Like, there's no question that they know, like, their place in comedy history and, like, that they're giants and stuff. But at the same time, they just, I don't know, man. Like, they seem big. I will say, now that being said, I will say Terry Jones has done some historical documentaries that I really mm-hmm. dig because he's pretty good at, like, adding a little bit of humor to it.
John Cleese has made a great career for himself as a supporting player in movies.
Yeah, and even so, I think he does really good with the voice work now. Yeah. That seems to be what he mostly does now. But I kind of feel like whenever they do something for Python, it sort of makes me sad now. Yeah. Like that's one group honestly, I kind of don't want to get back together.
With all the retrospectives and like oral histories and biographies and autobiographies, if you were someone new to Monty Python and didn't know like who all the individual members were, I wouldn't blame them for thinking they were all dead.
Like, yeah.
If you're a new fan, you might honestly believe they're all dead, except maybe John Cleese.
But when's John Cleese been front and center or something? Like, when's the last time?
He popped up in all the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, did he?
So that's why someone my age.
He was in that, and then he was in Rat
Race. Well, then I recant that. Well, but Rat Race, that could not have done well. Almost
15 years ago now.
That could not have done well.
It had a weird resurgence on cable.
But, yeah, it was interesting, like, reading about how they would write stuff, too, because they would partner off, except for Eric Idle was weird, as they put it, and he was an orphan, so he would just sort of go off by himself. And that, I mean, he would write a lot of songs that way and things like that, so.
They all had a sensibility that worked really well together,
mm-hmm.
but you could tell they all had, like, their own strength that sort of, when you put them all together, it made almost one full comic genius.
And by the way, they made some great movies that weren't Monty Python movies, too. Like, I mean, it's practically a Monty Python movie.
Fish Called Wanda
is fucking great. Amazing. So funny. And Fierce Creatures is pretty underrated, I think. It's not as great as A Fish Called Wanda, but it's all the people from A Fish Called Wanda in a zoo setting. And Kevin Kline is hilarious in that, too. Yep. But, yeah. So, I mean, they made some good stuff outside of that. I feel bad that John Cleese had to be the bad Q, like the Q that got rebooted. But I guess that's just how shit was. Because I remember seeing him as Q and being like, that could really work.
Maybe we
and thinking I was going to see him in like the next 10 Bond movies, and it just wasn't to be.
Maybe we give
him... Which is too bad, because he was...
But the new Q is pretty good.
I really like Ben Whishaw.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun if we gave John Cleese a run as Alfred. Like, the more, like, wisecracking, like... posh British gentleman outfit.
They're probably going to go more with the Batman Year One outfit, I think. And they should.
But I would like to see the...
If you're going to go humorous, John Cleese is the way to go for that. Oh, yeah.
Like, and I think Alfred's the type of character who, if you're making a super serious movie, Alfred would be a great comic relief character. Like, sort of...
He usually is, traditionally.
But, like, prodding old Batman about how he's too old for this and... It was already crazy to dress up like a bat and run around the city like a child. I'd have a lot of fun with John Cleese in that role.
By the way...
but it's a good idea, so DC won't do it.
One of my favorite 60s Batman's moments was when they had Alfred wearing the cowl to pretend like he was Batman. He's got like his Alfred mustache sticking out and everybody just buys it. I fucking love that dude. Like even when I was a kid, I didn't get that it was camp.
Yep.
And I was like, how do they not notice Alfred's mustache? Like I was really upset at that. And then as an adult, I'm like, that's fucking great. This is dude.
Amazing.
Yeah.
His one-liners are always so great.
And by the way, I've talked about this before, but do you get yourself a treat? Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, yeah.
Go buy Batman, the movie, the Adam West movie, and yep. listen to the commentary. It is fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's Burt Ward and Adam West. And Adam West is fucking drinking during the commentary.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, it's so great, dude. And you can hear the ice cubes tinkling as he's drinking and pouring more drinks and stuff. And at the beginning of it, it's like a serious commentary. And by the end, Adam West is fucking smashed. And he's like, I fucking love playing Batman. They got me cat women that were really hot. And I just loved it. It was the best time of my life.
And I've mentioned on the podcast before, but now's as good a time as any to remind people. After you watch that, watch the documentary Adam West Naked.
Really? What's that like? Oh,
it's so good. It's the one I was telling you about where he watches his own performance in Batman the movie, and he just like he filmed it himself, just like with a video camera around his house, and he's like just sort of sitting around talking.
Was it like an internet video?
No, it's a real documentary.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. It's so funny.
By the way,
he watches the movie and does a new commentary track for it.
I believe that Fox. I'm pretty sure it's Fox, and then I'm guessing that it's Warner Brothers have this like rights issue over the old Batman show, so they've never released them on Blu-ray or DVD or anything. They need to get the fuck over that, dude.
Yep.
Seriously, because that's one that I would actually buy just to watch with the kids. Show. It's so great, dude.
It's so fun.
And my daughter's not going to be old enough for very much longer where she'll think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like she'll enjoy it and take it seriously at this age. If you wait much longer, dude, you're gonna fucking miss your window with my daughter, and then you gotta answer to me.
We're gonna take it to him.
Yeah, but speaking of rights issues, we didn't get to this last week because we have Victor and he was delightful and fucking funny, somehow wound up talking about Seinfeld for a long time, which I could talk about for hours. But James Bond, they finally got over that. Yep. There was this big lawsuit. So Thunderball, when it was written as a novel, Ian Fleming wrote it with this other guy. And because of that, they got in this big lawsuit that started in the 70s and finally just got settled last week. And so essentially they weren't allowed to use any characters from Thunderball outside of like James Bond. So yep. Spectre was completely out. You couldn't have Blofeld, anybody from Spectre, the Spectre organization. So they sort of tried to get around that with the Quantum Group and the new Daniel Craig mm-hmm. ones. But now they can, as of like the next movie, which they're writing the script for right now, they can use Spectre again because they just settled it. They gave an undisclosed amount of money to the guy's family, and it's done. They can finally use Spectre again. So here's the question.
Do you think they will for this movie? Because John Logan's already turned in 2 or 3 drafts.
I think that they're going to have a nod to it.
I think they will, too.
I think they'll have a nod to Spectre, and that's the most. I don't think
it'll be a straight-up.
The question is, did they write in something with Quantum? Like, if they did write in something with Quantum, it becomes Spectre immediately. I guarantee that. But if they
didn't, I think they'll make some references to it. I could see them sort of teasing Blofeld at the end.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure if I want to see Blofeld again. I could go for it if they do it, but I just like that they've settled this.
I think that they might want to bring back Blofeld at least once to see if they have like an arch nemesis type villain that they can sort of build around.
To use for multiple films?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think, Brandon? You are a Bond fan. You want to see Spectre come back?
I would love to see Spectre. Blofeld would be a tough sell for me.
Especially, you think everybody'd be like, "That's Dr. Evil now."
I think that's like what would be such a hard tripping point would be Dr. Evil.
Yeah, then wouldn't necessarily go the same way with the scar. And
are
everything,
you ready for
though,
my
right?
pitch for how you rebuild Blofeld in the cool way?
Okay.
Okay, so you just trash all the old ideas of Blofeld. He just has the name Blofeld. Still evil villain. Still Spectre.
You're already on the same line of thinking I'm on.
You cast Idris Elba.
I don't know who that is.
He was Heimdall in the Thor movies.
Okay.
Because he's super charming, super talented. He's the type of guy who can sort of match up with James Bond or Daniel Craig physically, mentally, charm-wise. Like, he's a perfect sort of cool villain for him to face.
Yeah.
He takes that sort of flamboyant, cool Javier Bardem had and takes it to, like, the classy James Bond level. So he's, like, a villain who can perfectly match James Bond in every way.
That makes sense. And they've got Sam Mendes directing the next one, right? Yep.
John Logan writing again.
You know, they might just work Spectre into this, actually. I'm going to change my answer. Spectre's going to play a part in this. It's not just going to be a nod. I think Sam Mendes has shown that he's a big fan of the previous Bonds. I think he's going to work in Spectre.
The other thing I could do would be something like they did with Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, where they have like an alternate and then somebody that's really pulling the strings.
Yeah, someone
that was pretty great the way they did that too, I gotta say.
Yeah.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker because
you'll never see me coming.
And that was weird watching that because I was like, before you got to the truth of it and stuff, I'm like, so is he a magician? He's just a terrorist? That's fucking boring. He's just a terrorist. Mm-hmm. And then when they did that spin, I'm like, that's pretty badass. I can get behind that. Yeah.
Apparently they filmed something new with Ben Kingsley to like another one of those short films with Ben Kingsley.
I
would guess Thor's Blu-ray.
I've been meaning to buy the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray just to see what the short is.
It's Peggy Carter, Agent Peggy Carter. It's a mission with her.
Who is that again?
She's Cap's love interest in the first movie.
Okay.
And there's
Is she old lady or is she World War II?
It's World War II.
Okay.
And there's rumors that it's sort of being set up to test her to see if they can set up a show with her, an Agent Peggy Carter show.
That'd be kind of fun.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. I like that character too. She's got moxie.
She does have moxie. That's a dame with some gams and moxie.
Oh, sorry.
So
did you see that on the newsreel? They're like, Agent Peggy Carter to get their own show.
I did, yep. You could hear their tapes whirring in the background, and they pulled out a vinyl record to go to commercial.
All right, what else we got to fucking talk about here? We hit James Bond. We hit Batman. Bond.
We hit Batman versus Superman. Battle the Night.
No.
Black of Night.
Man of Steel : Black as Night : No.
Shadows of the Dark of Within. Bat Battle Night
: No. I'm just gonna throw : No. That's, you know, hashtag : No.
Here's what it is. Man of Steel. Hey, this one has Batman.
Look, kids, comics. We could do one of those.
You know that character you like and that other character you like? They're going to be together, and no Marvel hasn't done this before. Honestly, the two things I'm still looking forward to is I just love Nightwing as a character so much. I'll like getting to see him. And if it really is Wonder Woman that they're casting, I'll be excited that they finally got around to something with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but there's something about making her a bit part for her first movie that leaves me with a bit of a bitter taste. Me too. And I feel like it's an insult to put, like, you put in two Titans. I can stand putting the Flash in there if they work him in for a little bit. But I'm like, these are two big characters. Like, it's a fucking insult to, like, take the third leg of the... I mean...
You treat her on the same
level. She's the third biggest hero that DC has. And they're, like, gonna just shoehorn her into a Batman-Superman movie. I don't like that.
I 100% agree.
I hear what you're saying. You're just saying that they worked her in somehow.
Well, yeah, for me, some... At this point, after years and years of years of... They just cannot make this pretty easy movie to make happen... I'm just, like, at this point for me, some Wonder Woman is better than no Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous because it's like, pick a Wonder Woman and go with it. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. You want to do World War II Wonder Woman? Great. We've already seen it worked with Captain America. Like, Marvel fucking led the charge with that.
Do you want to do mythology Wonder Woman? Go for it. Awesome. Do you want to do straight up action, like, action hero Wonder Woman? Awesome. Super easy.
Yeah, and just by the way, the mythological one... It's been done, and it's been done well before the superhero genre. That can work.
It is a tested, time-tested success. This is, and You don't have to do any marketing. People know who Wonder Woman is. It's not like Marvel where they sort of had to convince you Iron Man and Thor were interesting.
Or let's say you don't do those other two and you just make her a badass. Fucking go back, rent yourself a copy of Aliens, watch Sigourney Weaver, and then imagine her in like fucking battle armor and a bustier with a fucking lasso and you got it.
Yep, you're done.
Yeah, replace the aliens with, well, I guess you can do aliens.
Sure, why not?
No.
They own Dark Horse, right? We could cross over aliens with Wonder Woman. That's probably the only way we'll see Wonder Woman if it's Wonder Woman versus aliens. Let's be honest, it's DC, dude.
Yeah.
Aliens versus Wonder Woman.
Wow.
It would start out as that, and then the script would be finalized as Alien versus Predator 3.
Yeah. with one appearance by Wonder Woman.
No matter who wins, Wonder Woman loses. That would be interesting territory. What if we got into let's just go like fantasy projects now. Mm-hmm. This will never happen. It'll never absolutely happen. The one I would love to see happen, Batman versus Predator. I never read the issues, but I've always imagined what an epic battle that would be. I would love that, dude. Batman versus Predator or Batman versus Aliens.
You know what my dream project is? It's based on a single issue comic book from 1994. One of my favorite single issues of all time. Godzilla versus Charles Barkley in a one-on-one battle. And there's one panel where Godzilla...
Wasn't that a commercial? I swear that was a commercial.
I have seen something.
And they turned that into a comic book?
It was a comic first that they were using to sort of like proof of concept for the commercial.
Okay.
But there's a scene, my
favorite. Because it's panel, like a Nike commercial, I think.
My personal favorite panel, this is the tagline for the movie. So you've got Godzilla and his chucks going up for a dunk, right? And the panel just has in the narration box, Godzilla got busy. That's it. Charles Barkley versus Godzilla. Godzilla got busy.
Thank God Charles Barkley was never too picky about his brand, dude.
He gave us so many amazing things.
I guess nobody really was in that era. I mean, fucking Michael Jordan was with Looney Tunes. Like, you would never see LeBron James do that shit.
I hope
you
do. Space Jam 2. LeBron in it.
No. I don't want to, like, call any attention to Space Jam.
You're wrong.
Because
Space Jam is great. No.
You guys are just too old and crusty to appreciate
cinema. No, I hate Michael Jordan. It's...
If it had come out in the 90s with any other, with Clyde Drexler,
would you be down? If it had come out with Clyde Drexler, I would be down, dude. I would be down.
Anybody.
But Michael Jordan. I'm too old to Detlef really Trump. Enjoy. Yeah, because he is a Blazer. I could see that. Even Scottie Pippen.
Bill Walton would have been fun, actually.
He would have gotten injured before the climactic game.
Muggsy Bogues has a small.
He would have gone to stretch his arm into the basket and would have snapped off at the end.
His foot would have just been... There's a scene in the movie where Jordan has to go get his sneakers because his dress shoes are pulling up the floorboards in Looney Tunes gym. For Bill Walton, it would have just cracked his foot in half.
They could have had a team of like Greg Oden, like Bill Walton.
Kevin McHale post-1992.
Brandon Royce is like, oh my God, we're doomed.
Brandon, what is your dream project that will never ever happen?
What was the Ash versus...
Ash versus Freddy versus Jason?
Yes.
That almost happened, too. That did almost happen. And then it became a graphic novel. Yeah, and it's not that great.
I didn't want to read it because I knew going into when I saw that comic cover, whatever was happening in my head, which was amazing, was always going to be better than what they actually wrote down.
I mean, to be fair, there's an element missing which you cannot, and I've got some Army of Darkness comic books and it extends to that. There is just something about Bruce Campbell that you can't replace. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, if you love Army of Darkness, you love Bruce Campbell. And you can't see Ash. I can't even stand in the video games, dude. I tried some of the video games, and it's just, even when it's his voice, it's still not Bruce Campbell. It's not the same. There's something about it. You need Bruce Campbell in that role, or it just doesn't work. And, the graphic novel is not very good.
He really is the glue that sort of keeps that franchise together.
Do you ever watch the short film Freddy versus Ghostbusters?
No. I remember you telling me about it. I guarantee they did not get permission to do those two franchises, but I love that it exists.
Yeah, if you Google it, it's about a 30-minute short film, and comic gold. They did it on a $500 budget, and it was so epically bad.
I'm going to check this shit out tonight. I think we talked about this before, and Zach, I think you were dropping some knowledge on us about, what was it, Rocky versus Rambo?
Oh, yeah. Rocky versus Rambo. Like a Rambo script for it? That a bunch of comics and comedy writers wrote. It's amazing. It's so good. I have to give you the PDF to read that. It's so funny.
Yeah. I want to check it out. I'm sure I can find it in the net.
Oh, definitely. It's free to download. It's fun as hell.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical.
I went through a split second where I'm like, I'm just going to read all these spec scripts because I read that Superman Lives that Kevin Smith did. And then I just never, it was the only one.
This is not a spec script. It's a script that a bunch of comics and comedy writers just had fun with. And they all wrote sections independently of each other and then put them together.
So it makes no sense at all.
Somehow, like, they sort of ironed it out so that it had a little bit of a narrative flow, but it mostly makes no sense. But it is hysterical.
Well, are we all good here? Everybody say what they got to say?
I think we put together like a solid hour, right?
Yeah.
A solid 45 minutes.
We got a... Yeah, actually, that's exactly what we're at. It's a solid hour. So.
Hey. All right. Pulling back the curtain for the audience a little bit.
So take it easy. Oh, that's fucking Samsung. Hold on. Damn it. All right, here we go. Working out the kinks in Studio G. What the fuck did you do?
We dance. I've got those little Mexican clapper things. I don't know what they're called.
They're called castanets.